You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
My name's Rob, one of the pastors on staff. If you're here in, with me in person, can you help me welcome, we live stream this, so can you help me welcome the online audience? Whether you're here in person or online, we're so glad you're here today. We are going to cover the final part, the third part of our series on heaven and hell. And I love the subtitle. It's a biblical, what is it? A series of biblical talks on eternity. And the reason we're looking at heaven and hell is because it's not a series about death, it's a series about living. And so 2 weeks ago, we kind of introduced it, looking at what happens after you die. Last week, we went to hell. Fortunately, we all came back from there. And this week, we're going to go to heaven. And I wanted to start because I was like, man, a series on heaven and hell can feel a little bit kind of like, oh, heavy. And one of the things we're going to look at today is some of the misconceptions about heaven. And I think some of the misconceptions are reflected in a bit of humor. So I found some jokes on heaven. So we're going to open up with some jokes, okay? Here's the first one. One day, when Jesus was relaxing in heaven, he happened to notice a familiar-looking old man. Wondering if the old man was his father Joseph, Jesus asked him, "Did you by chance ever have a son?" "Yes," said the old man, "but he wasn't my biological son. He was born by a miracle, by the intervention of a magical being from the heavens." "Very interesting," said Jesus. "Did this boy ever have to fight temptation?" "Oh, yes, many times," answered the old man, "but he eventually won. Unfortunately, he heroically died at one point, but he came back to life shortly afterwards." Jesus couldn't believe it. Could this actually be his father? "One last question," Jesus said. "Were you a carpenter?" "Why, yes," the old man replied. Jesus rubbed his eyes and said, "Dad." The old man rubbed his eyes and said, "Pinocchio." By the way, the theology of that, I'm pretty sure Jesus knows who his dad was. So, all right, here's another one. A lawyer and the Pope died at the same time and both arrived in heaven at the same time. They were met at the pearly gate by St. Peter, who conducted them to their rooms. The Pope's room was Spartan, with a bare floor, an army cot for a bed, and a single light bulb. They came to the lawyer's room. It was huge, with wall-to-wall carpeting, king-size waterbed, indirect lighting, color TV, stereo, and a jacuzzi. The lawyer said, "There must be a mistake. This must be the Pope's room." St. Peter said, "There's no mistake. This is your room. We have lots of popes, but you're our first lawyer." So if you're a lawyer in here, don't sue me for that. And one last one. All right. An exasperated mother whose son was always getting into mischief finally asked him, "How do you expect to get into heaven?" Okay, not a great parenting technique, but she asked that. The boy thought it over and said, "Well, I'll run in and out, and keep slamming the door until St. Peter says, 'For heaven's sake, Dylan, either come in or go out.'" So he understood that he was going to have a choice in that. Now, those are funny, humorous, but they show us a lot about, there's a lot about heaven we don't fully know. There's a lot about heaven we don't fully understand. We've never been there before. And so today, we're going to look at this message. But I want to make it clear, we are trying to explain and understand things that we don't have a full knowledge of. That we can't, I believe we can't even have understand it fully until we're actually there. But we can look at the Bible and know that there is enough that we can see that would make us want to live for heaven. In fact, this whole series is built around this truth. What you believe about eternity determines how you live today. What you understand and believe about heaven, how you view it, should help determine how you live your life today. And so we're going to look at it. 1 Corinthians 2:9, though, tells us this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So we haven't seen it yet. We have not heard about it, although we have some of those stories of people who have gotten glimpses of it. And the Bible tells us we can't even imagine how wonderful and how good it's going to be yet. So how do we live a life that is has eternity, has heaven in view, if there's so much that we can't know about it? Well, the Bible does tell us some things about heaven, and the Bible tells us the important things, the things that should be all we need to know. Heaven is going to be great. And so we're going to look at a couple of passages today, and some of these are a little bit long, so bear with me and read along up here on the Sky Bible, if you will. The first one is in John 14. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So the first thing Jesus is saying is when you think about eternity, when you think about where your life is going, don't worry. Don't let your hearts be stressed over it. Don't be concerned about it because you know me, you believe in me. He goes on, he says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And I love it because when he says this with such confidence, Jesus had such confidence in his disciples, and he has such confidence in us that we actually understand what he's saying. But sometimes we have questions. And Thomas, one of his disciples, had some questions. He said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And then Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So here's a couple things we learn about heaven. Number one, it's God's residence. Heaven is God's home. Heaven is the place where only God is in charge. You see, earth is a middle ground, if you will. Earth, we have the influences of heaven, but we also have the influences of hell. Heaven is the place where there are no longer any of the influences of hell. It's God's residence. And in there are rooms for us. And Jesus is our real estate agent. He's the only real estate agent that can get you property in heaven. No other agent has the authority to get you property, to build you a home, to prepare a place for you in heaven, except Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other belief system. There's no other individual that can do that except Jesus. In Revelations chapter 21, we have a vision. There's a man named John. He has a vision of what heaven's going to be like. And there's some parts of it that we're going to look at here in chapter 21 about what heaven is. It says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Heaven is where we dwell fully and completely with God, and he dwells fully and completely with us. In this series, if there's anything you take away from it, take away this simple truth. Heaven is eternity with God. Hell is eternity without God. Heaven is eternity in God's presence. Hell is eternity separated from God. And so that alone should be enough. We should be able to bring the worship team back up and close just on that. But there's more things we can know and learn and recognize about heaven. In that passage in Revelations 21, it goes on and says this, "He," Jesus, "will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." There won't be any of the things that make this life difficult. Now you might think to yourself, but some of the people that make this life difficult will be there. Yes. But they'll be new, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But the things that make this life difficult, the influence of hell, the influence of the devil on this earth will not be there. There will be no more death. Our tears will not only be wiped away, the ability to cry or the need to cry and mourn will be gone because heaven is about life. Heaven is about life. And I don't know about you, but when I think about heaven in this way, I go, man, Lord Jesus, come now. Because this is, are you kidding me? There's going to be days or every day, there won't ever be a day again where I upset my wife because I said something stupid. There won't ever be a day where my body goes, yeah, let's not run. Right? There's a lot of those days here on earth. There's a lot of those moments on earth. There's the mourning that we wrestle with here on earth. In fact, today, A young lady and I were talking between the gatherings, and she lost a 19-year-old cousin in a tragic accident just this week. And you know, she said this to me, and it was so precious that she said it this way. She said, you know, he wasn't necessarily living as well as he should have been, but I know when he was a kid, he gave his life to Jesus. So the mourning is different because we know where he is. We know the place he's in. So we mourn and we grieve, and he had a young son or a young child, and that's going to be difficult. But for him, he's now in heaven, and we can rejoice at that. And so that's why we're looking today at heaven. Now again, it says in this verse, the old order of things has passed away. This, where we live right now, this is the old order of things. This is the thing. It's passing away. It is not eternal. Earth is not eternal as we know it. And so this whole series, I want you to grasp something here. I want you to see this series as helping us loosen our grip on this life and lessen our love for this life. Not completely. This is the life God gave us. This is what we have right now. We celebrate and rejoice, but sometimes we hold on to it too tightly. And I think part of the reason is because we have some misconceptions about heaven. Okay? We have misconceptions about how many lawyers there will be versus how many popes there will be. We have misconceptions that help us maybe not understand heaven correctly. So today we're going to look at three of those misconceptions. And if you've got a worship guide with you, we've got notes. Oh, I picked one up that's already filled out. Look at that. I have the answers already. So hopefully you got a worship guide, or you can use our app to follow along. But let's look at three misconceptions. We're going to clarify them, so hopefully you understand heaven a little bit more. And the first one is this: heaven will be boring. Too many people go, heaven's going to be boring. Too many people have a view of God that out of that view of God, they then have a view of heaven. Some of you have a view that says God is a killjoy. Everything that's fun in life, God says no to. So heaven is going to be this place of no to everything fun. Therefore, it must be boring. Some of you think God is nothing but rules. He's just a set of rules, the do's and the don'ts, and the do's and the don'ts. And you're not a rule person, so you're like, oh my goodness, we're going to get to heaven. There's going to be so many rules. It's going to be boring. Some of you go, God must be like a pastor, which means heaven's going to be like church, and I don't know that I want to sing forever. Right? Hopefully we all have wonderful voices. Maybe we won't. But we have this misconception that heaven is going to be boring. Heaven is going to be the opposite of boring. It's going to be the place of the fullness of life that God created us to have. It's going to be filled with pleasure. Now, I don't know what kind of pleasure. I don't know exactly what it is fully, but we do know some things about heaven. You see, on this earth, we experience pleasure. We experience joy. We have happiness. We have emotions and feelings, and sometimes they're good, and sometimes people do nice things to us, and we say thank you, and there's wonderful things like chocolate. God gave us a sense of pleasure. And we know, though, the Bible tells us that most of what we see on this earth is simply a poor reflection of what's going to be in heaven. And so in heaven, if we know pleasure in a limited way here, imagine what heaven is going to be like. It's not going to be boring. I don't know if it's going to be all Swiss chocolate or if there's going to be some Hershey there too. I don't know, but heaven is not going to be boring. Here's some things that are going to be true about heaven that we know it won't be boring. Number one, we will know each other. We will love each other, and we will be loved. In other words, our relationships in heaven will be good. Our relationships in heaven will work. Teenagers won't talk back. Parents won't be short with them. Your colleague won't do that stupid thing that they do every Tuesday or whatever it is. Our relationships will work. We'll know each other and we'll be known. How many of you have ever felt misunderstood? In heaven, you'll be known. People will understand you and we'll be able to love one another. Relationships won't be a source of pain. Relationships will be a source of life. Relationships won't be a source of burden. They will be a gift to us in heaven because they'll work the way God created them to work. We will love, we will be loved, and we will know each other. The second thing that shows us heaven won't be boring is this: heaven will be a place of unimaginable beauty. In other words, all of our senses that measure beauty will be blown away. We will see things we've never seen. There might be new colors. There might be new whatever is beautiful. There might be new places. Whatever is beautiful, heaven will blow it away. We can't even imagine how good it'll be. Think about this. We purposely take vacations in places we think are beautiful, right? For us Alaskans, that's usually somewhere with the beach and a bit of coastline. Often it's the islands of Hawaii. And so we live for 50 weeks of the year. For those 2 weeks of the year, we get to be in a beautiful place. That's how we should live thinking about heaven. It's gonna be unimaginably beautiful. It's gonna be unimaginably wonderful. It's gonna fill our senses in a way that this earth only begins to. I remember a number of years ago, when we lived out in the Middle East, I was snorkeling in the Red Sea, and it's incredible snorkeling. There are so many colors and so many fish. And what I loved was that there's some parts where you could snorkel, and on this side, there's like a 30-foot wall of reef, and then on this side, it just drops down, and there's just shadows. And I love to be in that spot of going, what's coming up from under? You know, I don't know what's under there. Yes. And every once in a while, a fish would come up, and you kind of, oh, wow, okay. But then you look over this way and you see all the colors and all the beauty and all the magnificence. And I had this thought, God, how much beauty is there that no human eye will ever see? Why did you create it? Why did you make it knowing that for hundreds of years, most of us would never see something like this? And even there, down in the depths that we can't even see well, most of us will never see the fullness of the beauty God has put on this earth. And I felt like God just reminded me, he said, I love beauty. And if that's here on earth, if there's beauty and treasure here on earth for us to see, how much more will there be in heaven? How much more will there be in heaven? Heaven won't be boring because in heaven, you'll see Jesus face to face. You'll see Jesus face to face. 1 John 3 verse 2 says it this way, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will see him in all his glory. We will see him in the fullness of who Jesus is. In the Old Testament, there was one day a year where the priests would go into this place called the Holy of Holies, and they would tie a rope around their ankle. Because if they were not pure when they went in there and they saw the glory of God, they could not live. Well, when we go into heaven, there's no ropes around our ankles. We get to see the fullness of the glory of God. And here's the incredible thing. We'll see it in ways we can't imagine. And I truly believe we will understand, probably in greater measure than we can understand now, just what Jesus did for us. When John, the author of Revelation, is having this vision, there's a point where they're trying to break a seal to open something up so God can do the next thing he needs to do. And it says, all of heaven looked around and nobody was found worthy. And John's looking around, he's kind of stressing out. He's like, no one's gonna be able to do this thing that needs to be done. And then it says an angel pointed out Jesus to him. An angel needed to point out Jesus. And John says, I looked and I saw a lamb who had been slain. And I think that that's what we'll see. We'll see Jesus and fully understand who he is and what he did for us. And I don't know about you, but I love how I see Jesus now. I can't wait to see him face to face, to fully grasp and understand what he did. Another way we know heaven won't be boring is because you'll have new and perfect bodies. In other words, we will be given the bodies that can enjoy heaven the way God wants us to enjoy it. So again, if your view of heaven is that it's a giant worship service for eternity and you don't like singing, don't worry, your new body will enjoy singing. You'll be good at it. If you're worried that it's gonna be one long message and you think we're long-winded, what is an eternal message like? Don't worry, your new body will love sitting and listening. Just kidding. I don't think there's preaching in heaven. We don't need it anymore. But we're given bodies that can enjoy all that God has. And the last thing, and this is just one of a few, these are just a few things of how we know heaven won't be boring is this. Heaven is the absence of everything bad, painful, and evil. And it is the presence of everything good, holy, and glorious. Don't think about heaven in terms of what will the environment be like. Don't think about heaven in terms of will it snow? Will it hit 40 below? Here's my belief. If it does hit 40 below, then there will always be northern lights on those nights. Okay? Just kidding. I don't think it's going to hit 40 below. But we don't think about heaven in terms of the environment, in terms of what will my house look like that Jesus said he's going to prepare. We think about it in terms of who and what will be there. God will be there. He will dwell with us fully and completely. Jesus will be there fully and completely. And what will be there? All that is good, all that is glorious, all that is pure, all that gives hope and love and joy. And I don't know about you, but that sounds even better than Disneyland. That sounds like a place I want to be. It sounds like a place I want to live today, knowing that I'm going to get there. It sounds like a place that makes me go, the things of this earth, I'm willing to say no to them if it means I get to say yes to heaven here. Because heaven won't be boring. The second misconception many people have about heaven is that this world, this earth, the place we live now, is our home. This world is our home. And I get it. This is the only one we've ever known. This is the only place we've ever lived. This is what we understand. This is what we know. This is what we can feel and taste and see right now. But it's not true that this is our only home. But part of our struggle with this is that because we know this as our only home, we know the plan, we know how this works. We know that you're born and you're raised and your parents try and tell you things and then you graduate high school, maybe you go on to earn a college degree. Hopefully you meet somebody, you fall in love, you get engaged, you pray that Jesus doesn't come back before the honeymoon's over at least, right? Then you have some kids, you have a career. Eventually you get to the age where you can have grandkids. I've heard that's the ultimate destination. And then we die. We don't like to talk about that last part because we like to think this earth is my home. This is it. I want to think only of today. But heaven is our true home. When I went to Australia, when I moved there, I had a funny experience. And I was talking to this gentleman and we were talking about hockey. And I'm from Canada, so I'm like, yes, an Australian who likes hockey. That doesn't make any sense to me. But I began to perceive this conversation from my world. And after about 10 minutes, I was like, this guy knows nothing about hockey. And after talking to him later, he was having the same thoughts about me. And it took us about 20 minutes to realize I was talking about ice hockey and he was talking about field hockey. We didn't understand each other because the worlds we came from were totally different. Where I came from, men didn't play field hockey. That was what the girls did in PE. Sorry, if you play field hockey, God bless you. But in my world, the way I understood things from my culture, I could not understand what he was trying to say to me. And if we view this world as our home, then sometimes when we read the Bible and we see the things God asks of us, we go, that doesn't make sense because it doesn't make sense in our world. But heaven is our home. In Philippians 3, it says this, their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship, in other words, non-believers, they set their mind on this world, but our citizenship as believers is in heaven. And we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 says this, for the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And I have a rope up here, and I want you to imagine with me, if you will, that this rope represents all of eternity, okay? So I know if you can see the ends of it, just use your imagination and pretend you can't, okay? So we'll just throw that end of eternity out there. This whole area of the rope, this is eternity before God created humanity, before God created the earth. I don't know what time was like, I don't know how it was measured, but this is where God existed. It doesn't have a start, it doesn't have a beginning, it just always has been. At some point in this length of history, God created the earth. And this red area represents not just your life, but all of human history when you think about it in light of eternity. And so on here we have, you know, Adam and Eve, and there was a boat with Noah and some laws for Moses, and we go all the way through, and at some point Alaska became a state, and I was born. That was a significant one. We'll mark it on there later. And at some point in time, Jesus is going to come back. And the new heaven and the new earth is there. And then there's going to be all of this eternity going on without end. And I don't know what time will look like. I know some of you think heaven, there's no way heaven can't have a schedule. And some of you like me are going, man, I love heaven because it means I'm never going to be late again. Right? I don't know what it's going to look like. But in light of all of this, this is what we have now. And yet we put so much of our energy and our effort into this because we think this is our home. But this whole thing is our home. This whole thing is our life. Eternity is what we should be thinking about, because look how much more of this there's gonna be for us. Look how much more of this we're gonna spend our life in. And so heaven is our home, so we don't think about the earthly things. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our culture is meant to be in heaven. And so how does that mean we live today? It means this: if it doesn't matter in eternity, you shouldn't put too much value in it here on earth. In other words, the classic, if you can't take it with you, why are you investing so much in it now? We should be investing in what will be in heaven with us. We should be investing in the things of the place that is our home. The third misconception that many people have about heaven is this: most people are going to heaven anyway. That's a belief that a lot of people hold. Most of us are going to get in there, you know. In fact, Pew Research did a study and found that 72% of Americans believe in heaven, but they believe in heaven defined as a place where people who have led good lives are eternally rewarded. In other words, they think, hey, if you're good, you're going to get in. But the Bible tells us that none of us is good enough. There are no good people in heaven. There are people who said yes to Jesus. There are people who said, Jesus, I recognize I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for this standard. This is why we encourage you to have people who maybe they don't know Jesus yet, and to be praying for them. This is why we ask you and say, invite your friends who don't know Jesus, because he is the only way to eternity with God. Romans 3:23 says it this way: everyone has sinned. Everyone, each and every one of us. We've all lied, we've all stolen, we've all cheated. We've all done something not according to God's ways. We've all done something out of our own desire, our own selfishness. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ. Through Christ Jesus, when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This is the only way to heaven. And so I hope that as we talk about heaven today, this series motivates you to increasingly live with an urgency for heaven. Not just for yourself, but for the people that you know that have not yet called on the name of Jesus, that have not yet given their life to him to say, I believe in you, Jesus. I know you are the only way. Heaven won't be boring. Heaven is our home, and only those who know Jesus, who say yes to Jesus, will be there with us. That's why we've been looking at this series before Easter. As a reminder, hey, what Jesus did at Easter by coming as a man, dying on the cross, going down into hell, but being let go because hell had no way to hold him, ascending back into heaven, where he now sits beside God on the throne and says, God, that one knows me, let them in. That one knows me, let them in. That one knows me, let them in. We need to live with this view of eternity as we live today. Amen. So I hope you realize this series on heaven and hell, it's not a series on dying, it's a series on living. If you're here today and you don't know if Jesus is pointing down and saying, hey, let that one in because he knows me, or maybe you know that you haven't said yes to Jesus, I wanna give you the opportunity. I don't wanna just wait till Easter. You see, Jesus told us any who call on his name, any who put their faith in him, he will allow them entrance into heaven through what he did. And it's as simple as what we call the ABCs here at True North. A is admit. Admit that you've sinned. Admit that you are separated from God, that you're not good enough to get into heaven on your own. B is believe. Believe in what Jesus did by dying on the cross and being raised again. Believe that that is enough. And C is confess him as Lord, which means give your life to him. Say yes to him. Say, Jesus, I want to be in eternity with God, and I know that saying yes to you is the only way there. If you're here in person or if you're watching online and you want to make that decision today, you can pray a simple prayer with me to just start that, to say yes. This prayer is just simply a way of saying yes to Jesus. I'm gonna ask everyone in here, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And if that's you, would you pray this prayer with me to say yes to Jesus? Jesus, I admit I'm not good enough. I admit I have sinned. I admit that I can't reach the standard of holiness that heaven has. But I believe, Jesus, that you did. And I believe that you told me I can through you. And so today I confess you as Lord. I give my life to you. I say, Jesus, I know you are the only way for me to know eternity with God. And I ask that we start that today. Amen. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.